Valen, visiting mourners, and in his opinion, the mitzvah is a mitzvah d'rabbanon, instituted by the rabbis, but nevertheless, it's included in the mitzvah min haTorah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you shall love your neighbor like yourself. But there are other members, other poskim who say that the mitzvah is directly min haTorah, it's d'oraisa. Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah brings in brachas, reish pet mishamesu, that it is a biblical precept, and that when one fulfills it, it is a mitzvah min haTorah. The Sefer HaChaim writes that those who are Menachem Ovel, Hashem repays them very greatly by instructing the Malachi HaShoreis to bring that person's neshama eventually after 120 years to Gan Eden directly and to give comfort. Hashem himself gives comfort. In the Shilas and Nechemto and the Haftaras we read after Tisha B'Av, we get these expressions, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachem Chem. We get Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Hashem does Mido Keneged Mido, that Hashem gives comfort to us, just like we give comfort to other Avelim. And in fact, this Hashem was really the first one on record to do Nichum Avelim. In Bereshis Chafei, it says, Vayi Achari Mos Avram, after Avram was Nifter, Vayi Avorach Elohim Es Yitzchok Beno, so Hashem blessed Yitzchok his son, and Chazal bring down in Gemara Sota Yudalud, this is talking about Nichum Avelim. As Rashi says, Nechamu Tanchum Avelim, he comforted him. And in similar case, Vayi Avorach also is written by Yaakov Avinu, when straight after the Dvorah Menekes Rivka had passed away, Hashem was blessing him, and Rashi says, Birkat Avelim, chapter Lamatei, Pasuk Tes. So there it comes out in a number of ways, also in the Zohar. The Shlomo Pesachim brings down the Zohar, that Hashem visited the Avelim of Yaakov Avinu. A very prominent mitzvah. And if you have a choice between doing either Nichum Avelim or Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, then comforting the mourners comes first. Because when you are comforting the mourners, it's not only the mourners you are comforting, but also the natural neshama of the deceased, who is getting comfort from the fact that you are visiting the Shiva. Although if you are able to do both mitzvahs of Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim, one will do the Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick first. And the mitzvah applies not only to visiting Jewish people who are in mourning, but also non-Jews who are in mourning, Siman Shin Samazayim. That some people have a custom to say, I don't visit a shiva yet, I wait till 3 days are up. There is a source for this custom because of the fact that the mourner might be in such terrible grief and crying that the mourner might not be able to receive you, or might not be able to be very hospitable towards you. But really, min hadin, any time in the shiva is okay. And even if the shiva is up, I can give comfort to the mourner after the shiva. But the Maharil made a point of going specially on the first day of a shiva, namely because that's the time when it's most empty and there might not be people coming at all. And the Chazon Ish and the Stipler also had this point of going immediately to a shiva and not waiting. It's amazing how quickly the week goes by and one says, oh, I haven't visited yet, oh, I've only got 1 day left or 1 morning left. But there is emphasis on the way one behaves when one goes into a shiva, and we'll deal with more with that in detail later. But the Rambam writes, Lo yachichu yosemidai, don't put the mourners to so much bother. You know, it might not be sensible to stay a long time if you think you're doing a good thing by staying a long time. The Rambam brings this out, Peyuk Gimel Halacha Gimel, and don't go late at night knocking on the door when the lights are all out already at 12 o'clock at night, as some people have been known to do. There is also the question of when the Avelim have rest periods. You know, some people might feel, oh, I've come such a long way, it's not right that they have rest periods, and I'm going to knock on the door. There was, in fact, a letter in a certain Jewish newspaper some months ago about a claim that there was this new malaise, a new illness in the community. He said that people put so much time and effort into visiting mourners only to find a closed door when they arrive and it's not right, and do these people have rest periods on an ordinary working day? I think this guy missed the point, quite honestly. I think that, you know, it's not a normal working day. A shiva is fraught with fatigue, churning emotions, suffering of grief, and what is the purpose of coming to the shiva? We've come to give comfort, not to add to the distress. So I think there's a lot lot of common sense needed here. And in fact, I did find a halakhic source for this. When it comes to coming to the door and you find that they're having a rest period, Rav Fuchs writes in his Sefer Bein Adam HaChaveiro, he said it's correct to avoid coming when the Avelim are eating or when they are resting. They've been through the grief, you're coming to support them, it's not doing them any help. Alright, so you've come a long way and it might be disappointing. And if you can't wait, then stick a note through the door and say, look, we've been, we're sorry, we didn't want to disturb you, and we wish you all the best. I'm not giving up on this step, but don't go against the Avelim's wishes. Well, it is true that the Avelim should enable people to visit them, there is a point, because it's for the benefit of the Niftar as well, it's for the benefit of the person who has passed away. So the Avelim shouldn't preclude people completely, but there's a question here of balance and common sense, and there is a priority for the welfare of the Avelim rather than for the welfare of those who are visiting them. There is an important idea which comes out from the sources that when one visits a shiva, one waits for the ovel to speak first. The ovel might not be in a mood for talking. So if one starts off the conversation, the ovel might not be readily tuned in. But there's a number of things which are written about this. The preacher does ask why people start talking. They should just come in and sit down and be quiet and wait for the ovel to open up. And if the ovel does not open up, one sits for a few minutes, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, when one says, Hamokim Menachem Etem, one doesn't have to wait for the ovel to open up. But is this really always the case? When the Chazon Ish came to a shiva and he saw that it was difficult for the ovel to speak, so he felt from the body language that the ovel did want to speak but didn't really know what to say, then he started to speak himself. And if there are a number of people visiting the Mourner, and the ovel has already opened up and spoken to one person, you don't have to wait for the ovel to speak to you as well. The fact that the ovel has opened up to one person is enough for you to join in the conversation without waiting for the ovel to give you a nod and to say, yes, it's okay for you. And what's the idea behind this? If there is the fact that you just start speaking, you're not giving the chance to the ovel laharos faro to show his own grief. So this idea is brought, in fact, from Eov. Eov in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, Vayeshu ito, and we all know that Eov suffered terribly, and the prophet says, Vayeshu ito, la'oret shivat yomim, the shivat elos, they sat with him 7 days and 7 nights, the ein dover alav dover, and the people who were visiting Eov did not say anything. They saw that his pain was great. And it says, and afterwards he opened his mouth, and then later on in Dalet Aleph it says, Vayan Eliphaz Hatemani, and then Eliphaz answered him. So there you get the idea of the Ovel speaking first. But it's not necessarily, according to everyone, so necessary in that you have to wait if the body language is that the Ovel wants to speak. The Aruch HaShulchan gives another reason, Lahatzik Dino, because it creates a better formulation for the din to play its part. The Nifei Gabriel says in Perek Zayin Aleph, he says, you go by body language. If the body language is that the Ovel just doesn't really want to speak, and it's like sitting there shaking his or her head, then just get up and go. You don't have to be tormenting them. But if you think it's apparent that the Ovel does not know the din about the starting, so the Ovel is waiting for you to speak, then you can start off. So says Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg in the Shitz Eliezer Chelek Yudayim. The main mitzvah then is to give words of comfort and not to be silent, and therefore it's good if one can speak, but one has to play by ear. It once happened that Rav Pum, a famous Rosh Yeshiva from America, came to a shiva for a child who had been nifta, and the emotion at such unfortunate events cannot be described, and he sat down and he didn't say anything, and the Avelin didn't say anything, and he just started crying. And when he finished his crying, and he said, I'm not giving him anyway. He didn't say anything else. And the Avelim said that for them, that was the greatest comfort of all. The fact that he was there, the fact that he showed that emotion, no words had to be exchanged. And they said that that gave them more comfort than all the other visitors put together. But it's important at such an event that people should not say unnecessary things or tactless things. And the Rambam brings this out in Perek Hei, Halacha Chof. The Rambam brings this out in Siman Shin Pei Hei, that the kind of dialogue which takes place at a shiva, it should be confined really to the fact that we are giving comfort for somebody special who has passed on. And in the Chiddush HaRan in Moed Kaf Aleph, he says there in Dibur Maskil Meshiva, he says, nowadays in the sins of our generation, Einon Nizarim, people are not really careful about this. Hashem Barachom of Yechapavon Hoseinu, Hashem should help us atone for this. It's not really right to start going on at the shiva about the latest news stories which you heard on the BBC News, you know, America is in shutdown and there's a crisis going on in Syria. That's not really what the shiva is about. And certainly the Tanya Rabbati says one shouldn't talk about things which lead to laughter. So you might think, oh, I want to cheer up the Avelim, I'll tell a few jokes. That's not really the right kind of frame of mind. By the same token, the Avel should behave in a dignified, mournful manner because it doesn't give respect to the Nifta. It's not covered like me if the Avel is joking. I once went to a shiva where the Avel got so bored, he started giving points out of 10 to people who were saying Hamokim Menachem as 10 to see how well they said it. He was saying 5 out of 10, 7 out of 10. Well, that's also not in the spirit of a shiva either. It's not befitting to do so. He can just simply thank people for coming. So the Ovel sits, but Min Hadin, the Ovel can be standing and one can walk with the Ovel when one is giving words of comfort. And it's very important that there is no greeting given. The idea of greeting is that it's a kind of simcha. I can just close this because the background noise magnifies itself on the recording. Yeah, it's very important that there's no greeting because greeting is a kind of simcha. And that's the reason for it. Hello, how are you? Haven't seen you for ages. Shalom Aleichem. And it's also when you meet another visitor at the shiva, then also you don't say Shalom Aleichem, oh Mazel Tov on your simcha, I heard about it, it's wonderful news. You might say it in an undertone, you know, this is not perhaps the right place to say it, but I was delighted to hear, etc., etc. But one has to conform to a certain spirit of the environment, and that one doesn't even greet other people warmly when one is at such an event. So you can say to the Ovel Mazel Tov, if the Ovel himself has had a simcha, you can say Mazel Tov, and I in fact had the shiva for my father at the same time as my daughter getting engaged. It's a very strange sort of feeling when you're going through both a period of grief and a period of simcha, and people were coming along and saying their Mazel Tov wishes, and then I was pressed straight after the shiva was over that we have the war, even though I wasn't in the mood for it because the chasm had to go back to Israel and so on. And Gabriel Knopfler came along to this vort and he made a very interesting comment to me. He said, it must feel very strange when you're going through simcha and you're going through grief at the same time. He said, but if you look in Kohelet, which says that there's a time for everything, there's a time for being happy, there's a time for being sad, ace for this, ace for that, and it's always preceded with the lovers, ace for this. Yeah. But it does say ace. Suppose the Aesra code. Without the Lamed, it says there's a time for Hesped, for grief, and a time for rejoicing. Because there are times when the two do come together. And that is why Kaelas does not separate the two. So it's a bit of common sense as to how to behave at such events. There is a custom not to shake hands with the Ovel. It does go on frequently. And the Haratzavi writes in Yeradeo Siman Reish Tzadi that it's okay if that is the custom. Even though it's a form of greeting, one shouldn't be too pedantic about it and start telling people off perfectly. As far as having food and drink is concerned, in some very anglicized places it's the custom to start serving tea parties at a shiva. And it's, out of our house not to eat or drink, because you're coming there to give something and not to take something. There might be also an idea of low sakhmo. You do get people coming into our house, seeing an out-of-print paper on the shelf, saying, oh, you won't need this anymore. Do you think you might be selling this in the near future? It's not the right thing to do at a shiva. Shouldn't say things like I deserve it. in Emunah. There are things which and the visitors shouldn't say, well, you know, what could we have done? Why didn't you get a second opinion from the doctor? We can't undo the past. We'll speak more about that in a minute. One shouldn't visit an Ovel if you think that Ovel hates you, because he'll think that you might enjoy coming along, seeing him sitting in his misery. When I sat Shiva with my family, and somebody came in who had done something very nasty to our family, and so as soon as this fellow walked in, my brother just instinctively stood up and walked out the room. But I said to myself, well, maybe the fellow's done teshuva. So I sat there and, you know, managed to run the conversation. But it wasn't easy. And you have to say to yourself, well, maybe the fellow regrets what he did. And you've gone to the trouble of coming round. One should be don the chatzichus. An interesting question which comes up in the Poskim is, can you do the mitzvah of nichum aveilim by telephone or by fax or by email or by text? And this is discussed by the Minchas Dovid. Really, because the Nichum Aveilim is being done not only for the mourners, but also for the benefit of the Neshoma, who is deceased, then one should really be coming and visiting in person. The deceased no longer has email messages or texts coming on his doorstep, but it is agreed that it's better than nothing. And if one is unable to actually visit, so says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalet Siman Mem, and the Be'er Moshe discusses this, and Chelek Zayin, Kuntrus Electric, Siman Nun Ches, that one should try and visit in person, but if this is not possible, then okay, can't be done. So we were talking about things one shouldn't talk about, one can talk about, and it does give rise to this whole question as to why did I decide to choose this topic. I was at a shiva last winter, and I came there for a 1 o'clock mincha, and they weren't starting quite on time, and about 1:05, a certain person, a very well-educated kosher person, went up to the Ovel and said, no, what's the matter? It's past 1 o'clock, we haven't started yet. It's four people are waiting. Can we get started? And the Ovel just gave a silent nod, as if, yeah, all right, don't worry. And I thought myself, what on earth did this fellow come to this shiva for? It certainly wasn't to give comfort.
Somebody told me,
yes,
that his father was Mr. and he was over 90.
Yes.
He said the most offensive comment he had was, well, he had a good innings, didn't he?
I've heard this one as well, yes. Oh, how old was he? Oh, yes, he had a good innings. And they think he's giving comfort. What they don't realise, that a parent is always a parent, whatever age they leave. A father is a father, mother is a mother, and it is totally insensitive. Thanks for that one. It's totally insensitive to make comments like that. You would actually think at a shiva that some well-educated people actually have a brain deformity.
I just give you a story of something we know. When Jack Portman was sitting shiva for his late wife, my wife and I decided, you know, we'll try and find a quiet time to go so that we could be able to speak to him, which we did. And we had been there more than 5 minutes, and some rabbi came in who was flying in at such and such a time. He made a big effort to see Jack and talk to him at school, and he would come and to give some comfort.
Yes.
Which he spoke for a minute or two, and then he turned around. Decided that I need to go off to Israel to see his sister, my aunt,
thinking about switching off their mobile phones, and they pick up their mobile phone while they're sitting, and they go, hello, Mazel Tov, how wonderful, Holy Simchas, and, you know, turn the thing off, for goodness sake, just like you turn your mobile off before you go into shul, turn it off before you go to shiva. But to go in there and to say, how long was she sick for, you know, how long was she sick for, well, long enough to pass away. What did she have? Well, she had an overdose of the Malach HaMoveth, you know. And as we said before, how old was he? Oh, that's not bad. At least your mum now gets an insurance payout. Yeah. People do say these things, and it's highly unfortunate. I was at a shiva when somebody was actually asking about the insurance details of how well the widow would be covered. You know, and even just if you start talking about your kids and or about your recent holiday, that is not the purpose of going to the shiva. The purpose is to give nechoma, to give comfort, and not to create distraction. And sometimes you can just say one sentence, and it, their eyes light up. I visited a shiva not very long ago. Dr. Yossi Schmidt was sitting for his mother. He's Yom Chutzin, isn't he? Yeah.
Quite a while ago.
Oh, it was quite a while ago. Yeah. So I sat down and he asked me, he said to me, did you know my mother? And I said, your mother introduced me to my wife. And his eyes lit up. He said, what? I said, no. And he said, you can't believe it. So many people were coming to the shiva that week talking about the fact that his mother made the match. And he had no idea about any of these matches. And it gave him such a chizuk, gave him such comfort. So if you go to a shiva and you speak about the mitzvah's accomplishments, about I remember what this fellow did, and what a sense of humanity this person had, or what a wonderful family the person built up. And if you never knew the person, if let's say you did not know the mitzvah, then you can still ask about the achievements of the mitzvah and create the dialogue in that direction. How did he manage to stay frum in such an environment where he grew up, or how did he manage to build up such a wonderful family given the sort of area that he came from? You can say all this, or you can say irrelevant about Torah, but one should really confine as much as possible the idea of mechaba, of giving comfort. And if a question you're thinking of asking is not appropriate, then don't ask it. If you don't know what to say, then just sit silently, stay a few minutes, and you say hamakim yonachim etzchem. We're not really discussing in detail this pasuk hamakim menachem etzchem, but some people think that if there's only one ovel there, they should say it in singular. Or they should say hamakim menachem etzcho. And Gershon Hepner kindly reminded me of something Rabbi Cooper Zatzal said, that when you go to shiva, even if there's only one individual, one says it in plural, hamakim menachem etzchem. And why etzchem? Because you're not only addressing the mourner, you are also addressing the neshama who has passed away, to give comfort. And there's a second idea, that in certain languages, the idea of saying something in plural is a sign of respect. Eschem does mean you in plural, but in the French language you say vous, and you say in German the word sie, not just as a form of plural, but as a form of great respect. So that when you're saying eschem, it's a greater sort of respect than just to say, oh, Scott.
Is it also not actually a possible number word for eschem or not? Is it possible for that?
People behave at a shiva. I learned once under Rav Shimon Weiser, who came along once to a certain event, and he said, when you go to a simcha, you should imagine as though that simcha is happening to you, and then you might have the right frame of mind when you go into that simcha. And Nebuch, unfortunately, if you have to go to a shiva, you imagine as though that event has happened to you, and with that frame of mind, you will be going into it. And of all the shivas Nebuch I've been to, and the people who come to visit, there's one person who stands out in my mind, who when that person walked in, somehow the whole atmosphere was one of comfort and created cheer for the Avelim. And that person was Lady J. Rebbetzin Amelia Jacobovitz, the Chonol Ivrochov, she was the first person, in fact, to come into the shiva for my late father-in-law. Lamoko that they're overlooking the Bein Odom Lachavera. People who do the Siras Nefesh for doing their mitzvahs. People are so keen. He talks about the person who puts on his talis with such fervor before Shacharis in the morning, but when he swings it round and tips it, they hit into somebody else's eyes and knock off their glasses and break the glasses. And when the fellow complains, the fellow says, "No, what can I do? Shvet as I may eat." The guy who will make sure that he will not waste any bread comes there. Pesach, you've got to chuck it up. He's worried about Tashkis. So what does he do? He puts it out for the birds just near his neighbor's fence. And the birds come along and they make a big mess on the neighbor's washing line. And the neighbors complain. So he says to them, they don't understand this dinner about Tashkis. It's a mentality, unfortunately, which you see elsewhere. He talks about the people are hosing their balcony on Erev Pesach. And the dirty water is landing on the neighbor's balconies next door.
Doing both his Bein Odom Lamokam and his Bein Odom Lachaveiro.
why he was so lenient when he was allowing sick people who were dangerously ill to eat on Yom Kippur. And he said, I'm not being lenient. I'm being machmir. I'm being machmir on the nishmatim ba'adu nafsho seichem. So there are two sides to a coin. The halacha isn't just one set of rules. It's a multifaceted set of rules. And you're balancing these against each other without compromising halacha chas v'shalom in the reform sense. But to know that there are two sides to a coin and to know how to behave. And this comes out very much in shivas, nichol avedim. Perhaps more than many others. Also nichol cholim when one's visiting the sick. Don't say you just met the guy from the Chevra Gadisha on the way. So the Mishnah in Pekei Avos says, in the third Perek, Mishnah Yud, some text, Mishnah Yud, Gimel, Kol Shiruach HaBriyos Nocha Emenu, Ruach HaMokam Nocha Emenu. If you are tuned in well with other people so much that people feel at ease with you, that people like you, one of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah is Ohuv, not only Ohuv HaBriyos to love other people, but Ohuv means to be loved. Now, some people think it's a great thing to be popular, but the idea is that if you are popular amongst others, in that you are well tuned in to the wavelength of other people, then, says the Mishnah, Hashem will tune in well with you. But if you're not tuned in well with other people, then you'll never be able to tune in well with Hashem. So it's not just Beinod and Machavero. That when you're doing your proper Beinod and Machavero, it is also Beinod and Machavero. Hence the idea of Ohuv. And Rashi there says on that Mishnah, Kol mi she'ov l'mato b'yodu ashu ov l'malo. Once a person is popular with others, that doesn't mean that one is breaking every mitzvah and one's doing averos and one is still popular. That doesn't mean that. But that when one is conducting one's Torah lifestyle as a Torah personality in the way that is popular with others, that is the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, when we talk about trying to attract other people to Yiddishkeit, you know, there are some who go out of their way to reach out to others, which is an admirable thing. But the derech of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk was that if you are refined yourself and you behave in that refined way, in the way you speak to others, even if you don't reach out directly to others, then that in itself is the makor of other people. That in itself draws other people to Yiddishkeit when you can show yourself as a good example.
And I have to share a little real life story here.
Come out of Sukkot, when you determine whether a up to the Bima to ask if they understand the letter. It's common sense. Common sense is a crucial part of keeping the Torah. And just like we have to know how to behave when we visit a Shiva, how we give comfort to our leaders, to understand their grief, and not to say, I have to be coming into their Shiva, even though it's the rest period, because I've driven all the way from London to Manchester. That is not the way to behave. We have to use our common sense. We have to be sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. And only then will we get a direct link, not